Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you came up for this children's message. Today in my sermon, I'm going to be talking about Jesus' transfiguration. Can you say that hard word with me? Transfiguration. Maybe your grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads will help us. Transfiguration. Do you know what happened with the transfiguration of Jesus? Well, in my sermon, you'll learn all about it. But the transfiguration is when Jesus, who is human, right? He looks like you and me. Two eyes, mouth, nose, right? Jesus, who's human, also on the Mount of Transfiguration, showed himself to be special because he's God too. And for just a glimpse, that means just for a few moments, Jesus showed himself to the disciples what he really looked like. When we say Jesus was transfigured, we mean he was totally changed. And his face became white, like the sun. His hair became even whiter than mine. His whole body changed. In fact, when you see a pastor wearing a white gown, it reminds us of Jesus' transfiguration, about how bright and glorious it was. It was like looking at the sun, and they could only look at him for a glimpse. And to help you understand what a glimpse means, I brought a tool with me from my toolbox. Do you know what this is? Oh, it's a flashlight. Okay, yeah. Do you think your moms and dads, have you ever seen one of these before? Well, I'm going to show you about what a glimpse looks, but I don't want you to try this with your little brother at home, okay? I want to show you about what a flashlight does. Was that hard to look at? Oh, it wasn't? Okay. This is like the brightest flashlight I've ever seen. Wow, your tolerance is pretty impressive. But you know what? When Peter, James, and John saw Jesus and they saw that glimpse, it was more than just a flashlight that Jesus was showing them. He was showing them just a glimpse, just a short burst of his heavenly glory. But if they knew that Jesus was that powerful, did they ever have to worry again? Did they ever have to have doubts and be scared? No, they never needed to worry about anything because they knew that Jesus loved them and he had come to earth not just to show how great he was, but they knew that he was going to the cross because he loved them and he loved us so much, and Jesus died on that cross and rose again. And now Jesus shows us the way through life, not just with a flashlight, but through the light of his word. And that's why when we take a look at the Bible, it guides us on how we're to live. Because Jesus gives us a glimpse. And in heaven, we'll get to look at Jesus all the time. And yep, we're going to be just like you. We're going to be able to look right into that brightness, and we're never going to have to turn away again. Let's pray to Jesus right now, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for showing us a glimpse of your glory to help us when we get scared and when we doubt. Help us always listen to you and your word, and always guide us here on earth to stay close to you and hear the hearing of your word, until we see you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To him who loved us and has freed us by his blood, to him be power and glory now and forever, amen. God's word for this festival of transfiguration is recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. And I hope you can see a glimpse of Jesus' glory to guard us against days of doubt. The Bible says this: after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud: "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is God's word, we pray. Lord Jesus, sanctify us by your truth. Your inspired word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of the Savior, dear Christian friends, this past Tuesday, our country celebrated Valentine's Day. So let me ask you, how did you celebrate this Hallmark holiday? Oh, maybe there were flowers, candy, or cards involved. But did you ever wonder how the Hallmark holiday of Valentine's Day began? Well, some say it started back in ancient Rome, some 200 years after Christ was born. The Roman Emperor Claudius was having a tough time recruiting men for his army. He discovered that, well, of course, these men didn't want to leave their wives or their families. And so with a decree from the emperor, and everybody had to listen to the emperor those days, he decreed that all upcoming engagements and weddings were officially canceled. Can you imagine if something like that happened today? Well, as you can imagine, it didn't go well with the people. And one particular Roman priest by the name of Valentinus began to secretly marry couples in direct defiance of the emperor's order. Like it usually does, word got back to the emperor, who wasn't so happy. He had Valentinus arrested and sentenced to be executed. On the day of his execution, get this, February 14th, 269 AD, legend has it that Valentinus was able to send a farewell note to the jailer's daughter with whom he had fallen madly in love. The note is, as legend has it, said, "From your Valentine." And there is where Valentine's Day began. I think it's safe to say that Valentine's Day has stood the test of time. And the reason I think that's true is because I think all of us want to look into the heart of someone else. And since we can't exactly look into their heart, instead we take a look at the gifts that the heart gives. Gifts like flowers, candy, and cards. When you receive those gifts, it just gives you a glimpse into the heart of the giver. Our sermon reading for this Festival of Transfiguration doesn't talk about Valentine's Day, but this event does give us a glimpse into the heart of our Savior God. Soon troubling events were going to happen in the life of Jesus right after our Bible reading that were really going to cause doubts, worries, and fears in the hearts of Jesus' disciples. And to help them and us prepare for it, Jesus took them up a walk up a mountain to give them just a glimpse of his glory. This glimpse would burn in their memories and future generations and lift them and us from this world to the next. So on the basis of the words from the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 today, let's take a brief look at a glimpse of Jesus' glory to guard us in days of doubts. Maybe you found that taking a long walk helps to clear the mind. It's a chance to get away for a while. Even if you can't get far away, at least you can mentally recharge your emotional batteries. Well, the disciples definitely needed to get away. That's because following Jesus was becoming increasingly difficult. Oh, sure, there were moments of gospel victories. Oh, remember that time when many of Jesus' followers were leaving him? And finally, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "You are not going to leave too, are you?" I think it was maybe Peter's finest moment when Peter declared these words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a beautiful confession of faith. But Peter had reason to believe that. I mean, he was an eyewitness of Jesus. He saw Jesus, he heard Jesus preaching and teaching. He saw his loving and his healing, and all that convinced him of Jesus' identity. But now it was time to find out and sear in his mind and ours Jesus' purpose of why he came. Matthew chapter 16 simply gives us this information. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Okay, you be Jesus' closest followers. 1 minute Jesus is talking about victory, about the kingdom of God. And the next, he was talking about death. And of course, everybody knows death is defeat. What a confusing time that must have been. These disciples would soon learn it's not always easy to be a follower of Christ. Have you figured out that yet? But that's why Peter, he didn't like any talk of that. And so Peter took him to the proverbial woodshed to talk some sense into Jesus, to stop him from his plan. Can you imagine that? Stop him from his plan from saving the world? Well, Matthew tells us that conversation didn't go very well. This is what happened. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So what's the takeaway here? It's this. Sometimes it's easier to tell God what he should do than to listen to God when he tells us what we need to be doing. Oh, what an easy mistake that is. But it was time to get away. Jesus took his followers on a walk up a mountain to prepare them for what was going to happen very soon as they were teetering on Ash Wednesday, like we are this week, to prepare for another mountain called Calvary. Mark records this is what happened. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with them and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared with them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Oh, don't miss it. Mark gives us a glimpse of Jesus' glory. Jesus was transfigured before them. You heard in the children's sermon what that means. Jesus' appearance completely changed and revealed in the ultimate revelation of who Jesus really is. He is not only human like you and me, he's God. How do they know that for sure? Just picture them trying to look at Jesus with the brightness of his face. Whiter than my robe that I'm standing here in this pulpit talking to you. Jesus once and for all proved for them his identity. But other glorious sights were seen that day. Do you remember who was with the disciples and Jesus? Arguably two of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. They were standing there alive, even though they had been dead for thousands of years. Remember who was there? Moses and Elijah. How is this possible? Because Jesus can do anything, including bringing back these two great men. But there was significance why they came back. And so no one would ever have to doubt Jesus' power. Moses was standing right there. Moses, who God had called to rescue his people from hopeless slavery in Egypt and led them into the promised land. Elijah, maybe the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, when there was almost no faith in Israel, Elijah, God was used him to turn their hearts from the worship of false idols to the worship of the true and living God. Two prophets who had foretold Jesus coming was right now, they're talking in living color about the deliverance that Jesus had come to bring. Deliverance from real sin and real death. Real deliverance that would come at a price of real sweat, blood, and death. And finally, as we heard in our reading, resurrection was coming too. Can you imagine how that glimpse of glory affected the disciples? You and I don't have to imagine. The Bible says this. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And one of the most humorous things in scripture I read is really the truth. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Peter acted just like I would have, just like you would have. But you're familiar with the phrase, heaven on earth? That's what Peter was experiencing at that very moment. Everything that Peter and every godly Jew were looking forward to in the coming of the Messiah was standing right in front of them. Why Peter had left his fishing business, why he had left his family behind, was standing there right at arm's length. And Peter, oh, he's a smart guy. He didn't want that glimpse to end. He wanted it to stay. That's why he wanted to put up shelters. I can relate with Peter right here, can't you? I mean, deep down, like Peter, we want our Christian experience to be like Peter's. Mountaintop experiences, exciting, oh, full of glory and full of goodness. Yes, we often want our lives to be heaven on earth, don't we? I want that, don't you? With your time in school, with the time at your work, with the time with our family and with our health, oh, we want all things to go perfect. And when things don't, we're more than a little shocked. In fact, we're a little resentful towards God. And that's right when our sinful flesh and the devil put those doubts in our mind. Is Jesus really as loving as he says he is? Can he really save us when we need him most? Oh, deep down, like Peter, we all want a version of Christianity that's more crown than it is cross. Peter had it all planned out. Peter wanted Jesus to come down from that mountain, mow down the Romans, set up shop in Jerusalem, and reign like that time of King David, right? And of course, Jesus wouldn't only be on the throne, the disciples would be right next to him. And deep down, that picture of victory sounds pretty good to me about now. And for that selfishness, you and I both need that confrontation of our selfishness. We need Jesus saying to us, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." But Peter had a patient, loving Savior who loved him, just like we do. Think about what happened on that mountain. Peter was sinking into self-service, and Jesus kept lifting him up. Peter kept focusing on his plans, and Jesus kept saying, "No, no, Peter, look at the plan of salvation." Yes, when we sink into self-service and days of doubt, my friends, we need to come right here to the sanctuary. We need to open up the scriptures and have Jesus give us a glimpse of his glory to guard our souls against days of doubt. Wherever we go, brothers and sisters, and whatever we do, we need the cross of Christ front and center. We need the cross of Jesus right here, right now, to show us how sick with sin we all are. We're all terminal, and we're all separated from God on our own. We need the cross as the symbol of agony that Jesus would soon experience. Ash Wednesday, just a couple days away, and we see what Jesus, as God's Son, was willing to come to this earth to suffer, to experience in our place. We need to see at that cross Jesus' blood, his life was given up to make us right with God, to save us from our sins. And we need that cross right in front of us. Whether you wear it, it's on the wall, or however you remember it, you need the cross as the motivation for how now you and I can love God and love other people with self-sacrifice. As quickly as this glimpse of glory began, it ended. It ended with these words. "Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." With these words, once and for all, God endorsed Jesus as his son, but he also told something to you and me. He said, listen to him. You know, it's easy to focus all our attention right now on that mountain and forget what happened next. The real miracle of this reading, for me, it's what happened next. The Bible says Jesus came down from that mountain and was resolute on his mission to save us. You know, when most people would abandon the hard path for the easy path, not Jesus. That's the Bible's message to us today of what it means to self-sacrifice and what it means to love. Don't miss what Jesus, your Savior, has done for you. Valentine's Day has a way of showing where hearts are at. Cards and flowers might erase some of the doubts that we have. Does she love me or does she love me not? But today, as we go down the Mount of Transfiguration, as we go back to school and to our regular lives, may Jesus erase all of our doubts with a rock-solid faith. Thank God Jesus has given us a glimpse of his glory. And now, like the hymn we often like to sing, that hymn that we often like to sing, that timeless hymn, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Amen. It's now time for our stewardship thought. For our stewardship thought, we ask that you please take out this green sheet from your bulletins today. It's a bulletin insert. It's from an update from our Board of Gifts and Talents. We'd like to thank all of you for supporting the ministry of our church and school. In fact, we know God will take care of us, but we only are here because of the grace of God and because of the gifts that you and I give in our church offerings. You might wonder, how are we doing? It's been about 7 months in our year. Well, this report will tell you that we praise God that offerings, people are giving the gifts that God has given them and simply returning a portion back. Thank you. What you'll see is we're a little bit ahead in terms of our gifts to Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School and to our wells for our missions and our workers' education support. But it'll also tell you in the same time we're a little bit behind for the gifts that it goes to run the regular operation of the church. The point is, there's a need here at St. Paul's to give for you and for me. But don't just give because there's a need or there's not. Give because the Lord has given us. Why do we do that? Really, the bottom Bible passage sums it up. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you for helping us continue Christ's mission here.